Amen. So let's prove it. Abel Damina said that Paul is the man we should listen to. So let's go to Paul. Let's go to the book of Romans. Because it is dangerous to just hear a word and fight it with no good reason. Just because you are used to a particular belief system does not mean that belief system may not turn out to be wrong. So, we cannot just say Abel Damina is wrong because he is speaking something we are not used to. He could be right. And that would mean he came and saved us from our error. But he can also be wrong. That means he wants to complicate our already complicated situation. Amen.
Amen.
So we cannot allow that to be. That is why we took time to say, okay, let's have a studio session, which is not the regular church service, so that we can deal with these issues. Deal with these issues and see if what we are being told by this new teaching is true. Praise the Lord. Look at the book of Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 7, Paul lamented the sorry situation of men. How that the flesh is wrestling against our human spirit. As a result of that, our human spirit is, the flesh is really frustrating us. So he now said, thanks be to God. In chapter 20, in verse 25, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the flesh, the law of sin. He said, through Jesus Christ of the Lord, our Lord. He is thanking God that the flesh is still under sin. But the mind, which is the soul, is a servant of God. Then he now came to chapter 8. Now this is the reason. This is one of the major reasons. There are two things in chapter 8 of Romans that are the major reasons why the pastors like Abel Damina, pastors like Christian Hilome of the Christ Embassy, people like Bishop Mike Okonkwo of the TREM, and then people like Paul Adefarasi of the Church on the Rock, and a lot of some of those people that I personally consider men of very, very low IQ. Very low IQ with useless, nonsensical titles of doctor, bishop hang around their neck. People of low intelligence. Now, they use Romans chapter 8 to tell us that there is nothing that can change a man's eternal destiny as long as the man has accepted Jesus. So, though a man commits sin in Christ Jesus, it doesn't change his eternal destiny. You can see where he admits that those things are sin, quite all right, but they can't send a man to hell. Meaning, it is not even the acts that send a man to hell, but the unbelief, which I will deal with that, and you will understand the reasoning pattern. Why I'm reiterating these things is because I want them to understand that I understand them. Because in their mind, they may say, oh, he doesn't understand. Oh, these people that are against us, they don't understand. That is what Christian Hilome will say, that we don't understand the finished work of salvation on the cross. That is why we are thinking that when they say no sin can take you to hell, we begin to that they are in error. That if you understand what Jesus did on the cross, then you will know that Jesus has dealt with past sin, present sin, future sin. So no sin can change your eternal destiny. So they stand on the cross as the strength of their teaching. So I want them to know that I and many others that are against that teaching, we understand. But we are saying it is not right. We are saying it is error. We are saying it is not true. And we have to prove it, because we cannot just say it's not true and we can't prove it. Because Abel said he has provided the exegesis and insegesis. So who can fault him? Let the person bring it out. That's what he said. So we will run away from the challenge. So Abel, Damina, hear our own exegesis and our own insegesis. Chapter 1, verse 1, Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now that is where they stop. Because the Bible says, he that believeth is saved and is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. So now they bring that statement of Jesus to this place and say, there is therefore now no condemnation, no condemnation, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And they stop there. That is why I always say Abel Damina is a half-baked pastor. He bakes a half-baked bread because he wants to produce a result which is not true. But if he has to bake the bread complete, what his conclusions are will not be so. But since he has reached the conclusion before he starts proving the conclusion, he has to do gada. You know, Muslims, when they are reading the Quran, there are passages the malam does not want to dwell on or doesn't want the people to know, or difficult passages, like most of the passages that talk about Jesus Christ, they will have to say gada. That means crossover, bridge. So when the malam is teaching and his page man is reading, and he will explain that verse. Say kuma aka ce kuma billahi la izin bal umr la to kanaji da aka ce billahi izinmu la umman aka kaga akin nan nan ko abinda aka nimi a cikin shi da wai inda mace ta taka wajen da namiji ya taka wato Allah ba ya yi. I'm just using example, though. I didn't say that exists, though. So the other man will now say, then he will say kada, because the next verse, he doesn't want to dwell on that. So when he say kada, you will now jump that verse and go to the other one. Say, You understand? So when Abel Damina wants to reach his conclusion, he starts looking for scriptures. Then he arrives at a place where if he reads the next verse, it's going to distort what he wants to tell us. So he will now do gada. So when these people do gada, in this verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Gada. Then they go to verse 2. You get what I'm saying? But look at at the whole verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. Who walk not after the flesh. Those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hold it there. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 to find out what flesh is. Galatians chapter 5. Because we have to compare scriptures with scriptures. That's what the Bible says. Comparing scriptures with scriptures helps you not to reach a conclusion hastily. Amen. Galatians chapter 5 will tell us what the flesh that we walk not after is. Verse 18 of Galatians 5. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Remember he said, with my mind I serve the law of God. With my flesh I serve the law. Meaning, every work of the flesh brings you under the law. But that of the Spirit keeps you above the law. Praise the Lord. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, not hidden. Works of the flesh are not hidden. They are what? Visible. Visible. Manifest. That means you can see it when somebody is walking in the flesh. If I do anything that we are going to read now, you will see it. You can say, that is the work of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Which are these? Which are these? One. Read it with me. Adultery. Two. Fornication. Three. Uncleanness. Four, lasciviousness. Five, idolatry. Six, witchcraft. Seven, hatred. Eight, variance. Nine, emulations. Ten, strife, wrath. 11, strife. 12, seditions. 13, heresies. 14, envies. 15, murders. 16, drunkenness. 17, revilings. 18, and etc., etc. And such that resemble this, such that are like this, which means there are still lists, but time will fail him, and such like. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Of the which I, Paul, tell you before. If you look at from Romans, before Romans chapter 8, from Romans chapter 2, Paul began to deal with the things of the flesh. And he began to tell them how those things are dangerous. Of the which I told you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things, read it with me, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you don't inherit the kingdom of God, where will you go?
Hell.
So if nobody goes to hell for doing these things, Where does that statement fit here? He never said, of which I told you that the unbelievers that do this thing. No, he said, whoever does these things, whether you are a believer or unbeliever, you will not inherit everlasting life. You are already in eternal life. Why will you not inherit everlasting life? Because in the knowledge of God and Jesus, these things don't exist. We are called to learn God and Jesus. And in the learning of God and Jesus, you can't learn that Jesus fornicated. So if you truly say you have eternal life, and as Jesus promised, that anyone that has eternal life will never lose it, it means you can't lose eternal life. Why? Because you can't lose God and Jesus. You can't lose the knowledge of God and Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But inside the knowledge of God and Jesus, which is eternal life, is there adultery?
No, sir.
Is there fornication?
No, sir.
Is there witchcraft?
No, sir.
Is there murder?
No, sir.
Are these things there? Have witches ever come and told you that when we went to do witchcraft today, Jesus came and appeared to us and told us, teaching us a technique of witchcraft that we did not know before? Have any witch or wizard or sorcerer ever told you that when they gathered in their coven, God came? Jesus came. So Jesus is not in all these things. God is not in all these things. Therefore, if you do these things, you are not practicing eternal life. It is eternal life that you will not lose. But these things are not in eternal life. So the elder Davina thinks eternal life is a life forever. He thinks eternal life is everlasting life. That means God has given us eternal life and he promised us we will not lose it. But God has given us the knowledge of God and Jesus at the cross. And the knowledge of God and Jesus says he no get hand for all these things. Which means eternal life prepares you for everlasting life. Eternal life prepares you for everlasting life. So what will hand over everlasting life to you? Eternal life. But if you do not live eternal life, how can you have everlasting life? Is fornication eternal life? So if a believer that is living these things is not living eternal life. And it is eternal life that you will never lose. Not these things. So you can tell when you are in eternal life and when you are out of eternal life. You can tell it. If your child went to school, he went to school with a bag in the morning. He is registered in the school. Then he went and started playing ball. Came back in the evening and said he went to school. At the end of the day, when the report of the teachers coming, will they say your child was always in class? So when the report of everlasting life coming, you will see many Christians are not in it.
Yes, sir.
Because they thought eternal life is just believing. I have believed, so anything I do, it doesn't change it again. But that is the mistake. Eternal life is the knowledge of God and Jesus, and you have to learn it, grow it, practice it. That is the one that you will never lose. But when you learn this flesh, so the condemnation does not cover those who are in Christ Jesus that are walking in this thing. There is no condemnation, I mean to say. There is therefore now no condemnation. Does not cover the people that are practicing this flesh. Whether you gave your life to Christ, but these things are manifest in you. You are not walking out eternal life. You are carrying your death into Christ. The condemnation. Say, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Then we go to Galatians 5, 18, 19, and 20. And we see the works of the flesh. And the man of God said, I have told you before, I am still telling you, that those who do these things, be they born again or not, shall not inherit. If giving your life to Christ means you have already inherited the kingdom of God, how come this man is now still talking about an inheritance? So the error of Adam and Eve, he thinks when you are born again, you have inherited. Even in this world, the Bible says a heir, as long as he's a child, cannot inherit. But when it has grown up and is mature, that is when his inheritance will be given to him. When we are born again, we are born again. We start all over, meaning we are children of God. For unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. From childhood to sonship, there is a gap. It is the son that inherits, not the child. So when we are born again, we are given milk of the breast. We are given milk of the breast. That's the beginning of eternal life. We get out of the breast, we start drinking other milk. Then we start learning to eat small, small rice, solid food here and here. Eventually, we give up childish things. We take mature things. We start growing in the maturity of God and Christ. Maturity of God and Christ. Which excludes all these things. For we have to walk in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So that is the whole situation. The kingdom of God is not yet given to us. We have not yet inherited it. For what we have now, for as long as we are alive in this world, is eternal life. It is in the point of our death that our eternal life will hand us over to everlasting life. So if you don't make heaven, if you don't make the kingdom of God, what remains for you? So how can you say he sick and fornication will not take you to hell? Adultery will not take you to hell. Because you are relying on, you are relying on, there is therefore now no condemnation. That is where you are relying on. When you go to court, all the lawyers are relying on something. And they quote the point of law. They rely on this, they rely on that. But when the judge sits down and sifts everything and tells the person that this point you quoted, that you relied on, does not apply to this case, and therefore it is struck off. It cannot be, it cannot pass. All your reliance fall now. The lawyer is the only one that deceives his client. We win. I know we win. You have a good case. When we lose the case, we, some of them don't come for the day of judgment. They run away and send their junior lawyer. When they lose the case, they will now tell you the law is an ass. It can either favor this one or don't favor this one. But all along, they didn't tell you the law is an ass. We will win. We will win. So Abel relies heavily on Romans chapter 8, verse 1a. And he leaves out Romans chapter 8, verse 1b. That is why he is a half-baked bread. And when a bread is not fully baked, what do you get? It's the same as a bread that is not even baked. It's as good as nothing. Praise the Lord. Amen.